to read a little bit from chapter 6 of the book of St. Luke. Begin at the first verse. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'd like to take my time and just talk with you just a little bit. As I said, I'm tired, but I want to talk with you just a few minutes. We won't hold you late, and we'll let you go. You know, to say the least, the end of the world is here. I know that some of you just readily said amen because you believe what I'm saying. Some of you cannot grasp it. You cannot get a hold of it. You cannot believe it. But children of God, it's the absolute truth. And though you cannot get a hold of it, yet it is so. The day is far spent, the night is at hand. The harvest is over and gone, and some of you are not saved yet. Sixth chapter, the book of St. Luke. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto him, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. The scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. You know, reading this, you can't help but wonder how that anybody could find fault with Jesus, especially standing and watching him do a great miracle such as restoring a withered hand. But the devil can so blind people until they can be standing beholding God or the act of God and be so blind because of Satan that they cannot see a thing. You know, the Bible teaches that the wicked shall not see when good cometh. How many times have I said that from the sanctuary? How many times have I spoke that from the Bible stand here? The wicked shall not see when good cometh. Therefore, these people standing there, and God, the eternal God, standing in their midst, and there stood God, clothed in a human form. And there he stood doing great and mighty things in their presence. But they did not recognize him, nor was they able to understand. Even seeing the great, marvelous, unbelievable act of God, the Bible said they were angry. Angry at something that Christ Jesus done. It is little wonder that today people would be so disturbed in their spirit and act the way they do toward the man of God or toward the house of God or the things of God. If the devil was that strong in the days of Jesus, no more light than they had concerning the gospel. And if people was that irreverent toward God, how much more today in the day that we're living in, when the powers of Satan know that people know and understand and won't obey, how much strength has Satan got today? You know, this is a real hour of crisis. There's never been an hour like this. No, never. Not in the history of all mankind. Look at the thing that has just taken place. We were discussing, even today, over and over, the thing that took place over in Iran. Look at what it spells, the trouble that it spells for America. Why? Why is it that these things have happened the way that they've happened? Why is it, to begin with, that we're in the problems that we're in? Why is it that we're having all of the turmoil that we're having? What's causing all of this? The Bible said that if our ways please God, He maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with thee. Isn't that right? What is it? What is wrong with all of these things taking place? What has happened to America? You know, it's like this. Even in the administration of Jimmy Carter, when we look at it the way that we ought to look at it, there's a right way to look at it. And that's God's way. And when we look at it God's way, you look back and you realize that here was Mr. Carter, the President of the United States, being greatly admired. God lifted him up. God blessed him. Doing a great thing, apparently bringing peace to the world. Isn't that right? Seemingly, peace was everywhere. Befriending and fellowshipping Israel. God favoring Jimmy. Lifting him up. Continually blessing him. Why? Because the Bible said, blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. And continually he was trying to make peace, so it appeared. God continued to bless him. But you know, the Bible teaches there is no peace to the wicked. How can you make peace with people that are wicked? When the Bible said the last generation would be Laodicean, lukewarm, they would not care for God. How can you have peace when the Prince of Peace is not in your midst? How can you have peace when you've forsaken the Spirit of Peace? So then there is no peace to the wicked. We made the statement that if he brought peace, it would prove that we were false in our teachings. There is no peace to the wicked. But nevertheless, because he made an effort to bring peace, God blessed him. Isn't that right? But all of a sudden, a person can get magnified in their own eyes, and they can get lifted up in their own eyes. And then they forget about Jesus. And they get like David of old, and they begin to trust in the arm of flesh. And they begin to trust in their own ability, in their own powers of ingenuity. And then, of course, when they get like that, they're in trouble. And so it was with Mr. Carter. God blessed him. It looked like he had the answer when nobody else had the answer. He overrode the laws of the country. He violated constitutional rights. Done things that they let him by with because it seemed to work out right. And because they needed somebody that had the right power of ingenuity. But you know, as he continued to get lifted up, things began to go wrong. I made the statement. I said, when they begin to praise Elvis Presley, you remember that? When the President of the United States took a corrupt rock and roll singer into his thinking enough that he would respect somebody like that and praise the person. and go to special trouble to praise him. There had to be a motive behind that. Did you know that? There had to be a reason. You know what the reason was? Seeking the favoritism of the people. God had already favored Jimmy Carter. God had already magnified Jimmy. He did not need to have the favoritism of the people. But the Bible said, how can we have the favor of God or the honor of God when we seek honor one of another? But thinking himself to be wise, he became very foolish in what he did. And I made the statement, I said, when he done that, God frowned on him. And God did frown on him. And I said, when America did the thing that they did in lifting up Elvis Presley, that God frowned on America. And God immediately turned them over to a reprobate mind. And communism took over and they began to fly the communist flag. Jimmy immediately had a murderer come in from China, favored the murderer, took him up to the White House, into his fellowship, when the Bible said darkness hath no fellowship with light or vice versa. There is no fellowship from light to darkness. You understand what I'm saying? If we are a Christian nation, whereas we're far from that, but if we are a Christian nation, as they say, how is it that this nation is continually fellowshipping the works of darkness? If we're still founded upon the faith of the fathers that came in, and men like George Whitefield, and great men like Luther and Wesley, if that's our foundation, if that's our conviction, why then do we fellowship the works of darkness? Why then do we violate the things that they stood for and the principles that they laid down before us? America's far from being a Christian nation. Jimmy Carter, the president, with all respect I say this, is far from being a born-again Christian, as the paper said he is. I believe that Jimmy Carter is a believer, but not a born-again Christian. Now, when he took the murderer up to the White House, it displeased God. When he favored Elvis Presley, it displeased God. When he took the Shaw, which apparently was another murderer, which apparently had completely robbed the people of Iran blind, as we say, according to the papers that I read that was published from over there. The man literally stole millions and millions and millions of dollars from them. When Jimmy did all of that, the first thing we understood was Russia was upset because they felt like Jimmy was pulling off something with China. The next thing, Iran was upset because they felt like that he was pulling off something with the Shah concerning their money. And when Jimmy tied up the Iran money over here, then it certainly did look that way. God was displeased. We didn't have any Americans that were being held hostage in Iran. We wasn't having those kind of problems to begin with. But when God disfavored Jimmy, when God took his favor away from Jimmy Carter, then things began to go wrong. When Jimmy got lifted up, things began to go wrong. If you remember, when he went into office, he made the statement, and the papers carried it, that he got down on his knees and prayed to God that God would make him president, that God would put him in office. And so God did. But after he got in office, he made his smart remarks and he used his curse words and his slang words and told what he would do for Kennedy in the race and the different things. He went his own way, and instead of seeking God, he'd done what Jimmy Carter wanted to do, and now look at the mess that he is in, and look at the mess that he has got the nation in. I saw Jimmy in the vision, and I saw him as he became nervous, as I've said here a number of times, fumbling with papers at a desk, couldn't get things together. He couldn't understand. And finally, he just slung them down on the desk like that. And I saw in the vision as two of his brothers come around to where I was. And I said, I must talk to Mr. Carter. They said he's fixing to leave the presidency. He's leaving the White House. They said, I've never seen Jimmy do this before. I've never known Jimmy to quit, they said. But said he's quitting. You know where the mistake is when you go down to Egypt for your help. Isn't that right? When you go down to Egypt for your help, I'm not speaking about Sadat, but when you go down to Egypt for your help, you're in trouble. Isn't that right? You're in trouble. When you lean upon the arm of flesh, your own power of understanding, beloved friend, you're in trouble when you do that. When you quit looking to God, then you've got problems. When Jimmy quit praying, seeking God, talking to God, then the nation got into a perplexity. It's been in a wilderness ever since. Is that right? The problem is that we are not going to Christ and we're not calling on the name of God to ask the Lord to release the hostages over in Iran. We don't need to go to Khomeini. What does he have to do with it? He's a human being just like I'm a human being. We don't have to go to the Iranian people. That's got nothing to do with it. The Bible said, can evil come to a city and I've not sent it, saith the Lord? God is in the thing. God suffered that. Because of the foolishness of our nation. It's not a matter of Jimmy being able to get it out. Or the nation out of the crisis. The Bible said in that day no man shall save them. I don't have to go to Jimmy. You don't have to go to Jimmy. You don't have to go to Mr. Khomeini. The Bible teaches the preparation of man's heart is from God. All we've got to do is go to God and say, God, release those people. Have mercy on those people, God. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our wretchedness. The Bible said, if they that are called by my name will humble themselves, call on me, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. What we need to do is call on God, and God will prepare Khomeini's heart. And he will automatically say, well, I think I'll release those prisoners. He won't know why he's doing it, no more than he knows why he put them in there. For what purpose could a man put prisoners in there like that? That don't even make sense. The dispute is not between America and between Iran. The dispute is between Jimmy and between Mr. Khomeini. That's where the problem is. It's a personal thing. Always been that way. What caused Germany all the trouble? Hitler, it was a personal thing. What caused the trouble in the other countries? Men like Mussolini, those great leaders, always a personal thing. It's not the people. People don't want to fight with each other. What we need to do is go to God. You say, but Brother Pike, if Khomeini decided to let them go, the other people would not let them go. The Bible says the preparation of men's heart is from God. That all men's hearts are fashioned alike. That means that regardless to race, creed, or color, they've still got the same makeup on the inside. And that's a fear toward God. When God says release them, all of the Iranian people together, they won't understand why they'll do it, but they'll just say, you know, I think we ought to let him go too. What we need to do is get in touch with God. God can stop a war. God can start a war. God can give us peace. What Mr. Carter cannot do, God can and will do. What we need to do is to look to God. In that day, no man shall save them. If we'll look to God, God will fight our battles for us. If we'll look to God, God will bring this thing to pass. Trust in the Lord and He will bring it to pass. That's where the problem is now. I believe that when Jimmy did what he did, I believe he was sincere in trying to get those hostages. I'm sure that he has racked his brain until he did not know anything else to do. He did not understand anything else to do. And I feel for him in the position that he's in, because it is certainly a hard position even to be able to testify of Christ being hedged in with a bunch of people like we've got in Congress and what we call our government. I'm ashamed to have to say that. Whereas one time we had great men and we still got a few. But today we've got a bunch of foolish playboys up there that's drawing payrolls and sapping the people to death as a bunch of leeches and needs to be got out from up there. And some real godly people that know Christ and know how to pray need to be put in their place up there so that we can do something for God and get the nation straightened out. So then, when we look at the situation and we see it as it is, I'm sure that Jimmy meant well. They tell me he sent something like 8 helicopters over there and I don't know what all. About 90 men in there and pulled some kind of secret, or was intending to pull some kind of a secret attack to get those people out. Whereas Homini said it would have been too bad had they been aggressive and got to the embassy, because they would have burned it up or blown it up and the people's lives would have been gone. So then God apparently stopped the act, letting Jimmy back out on it, because God did not favor what he was doing. See, if God does a thing, God is going to keep it that way till God gets ready to change it. Isn't that right? God isn't going to change it because Brother Pike wants it changed, nor because the President of the United States wants it changed. God is going to change it when God wants to change it. That's what we need to do, to be led by the Spirit of God and follow the mind of Christ. I made the statement when we went down yonder to Haiti. It had to do with going down into the heart of the earth, coming back up to release the prisoners. God, as sure as I stand here, had that thing in connection with those prisoners over yonder in Iran. And God wants to turn those prisoners loose. But God doesn't want anybody to go in there and take them by force, because the revelation of Christ doesn't show that. It shows that that whole many of them should turn them loose. They should be turned loose. And the whole thing is centered around those souls that are in prison being released. And 50 of them, I made the statement having to do with Pentecost, because at Calvary, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, having died, Jesus went down to the heart of the earth, preached to the souls in prison, resurrected from the dead, as the Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, 50 days back at Pentecost and into the heart of the earth. Of these physical bodies, the Holy Spirit went to loose those souls that were bound inside to set them free, thus signifying from Calvary that the souls were loose. The Pentecostal festival being the old Pentecostal way of life, as we say with the Jewish ritualistics, to free the man from his indebtedness, God having chose that to signify the day of release, when people could be free from their spiritual burdens and spiritual indebtedness to God. So then, the 50 having to do with that, Jimmy having to do with JC, as we say, or the Lord Jesus, having gone over there to fellowship Israel, a type of Jesus going there, working with the Israelites. Yet, That to me is what enraged Khomeini. Knowing that the Mohammedan religion, or knowing that the Mosque of Omar was right there, set up as a headquarters to some extent in Jerusalem, that is what upset them. That is what caused him to feel that Jimmy was his chief enemy, and he likewise became Jimmy's chief enemy because of that. That is what caused the trouble. It's because he befriended Israel. Muslims are that type of people that all are one and the same, that work together in the powers of Satan. They know that when you fellowship Israel, that you are their enemy. And I said that the whole thing centered around one thing, and that was to bring the persecution down upon Israel. And everything that has been done from the beginning has come right down to that. I said Russia is also behind it, and that Russia moved in close so that they could be near Iran, just to make sure that Jimmy, when he moved those ships in there, did not get control of that oil. I believe that. Having fellowshipped China like he did, Russia wasn't taking any chance. And I still say that it will extend beyond the boundaries of Iran. For the Bible said, in that day there shall come into the mind of Gog and Magog an evil thought. And they will say one to another, let us go up under the city with the unfenced walls. Let us go up to the city and take for ourselves a spoil, speaking of Jerusalem, knowing that it's a wealthy place. That is, Russia will be aggressive toward that. And I know that Russia will work in an undermining way. They always have. They tried to do it down through Egypt toward Israel, always trying to overthrow Israel. The Bible said that he that toucheth Jacob touches the apple of my eye. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And the Bible said the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And brothers and sisters, God has preserved that country. And God is going to continue to preserve that country. It doesn't matter whether we stand with them or whether we don't stand with them. God is going to preserve that country. Not only that, but he's going to set his kingdom up in a great millennium reign from that country. And it is a true fact that every nation in the world would left a headquarter in that place right there called Jerusalem, because they know that's the most strategic point of the world when it comes to God's desire and God's plan. And all men's hearts are fashioned alike to believe that there is a God. So then we see where the problem is. We see where the trouble is. When Jimmy fellowshipped Israel, then there came problems. The problems haven't stopped, because Russia is just getting started in what they're going to do. And you know that when Jimmy said he was going to block the passage there so that Iran could not bring in the foreign trade, Russia immediately ran to the rescue. Ran to the rescue and said, we'll open the gates to you. We'll open the doors to you. And you can go through our country here that we've taken over. We'll work with you. Why? Because Jimmy got Russia upset because of the Chinese thing. Isn't that right? Because Russia was ready to work peace too. You remember? So then it is called the Great Interruption. Look at the great sports interruption. Look what an interruption that was. Thank God for that. I would to God it had been such an interruption there had never been another sports player as long as the world stood. Amen. If there ever has been anything that's of the devil, it's sports. Sports is the number one tool of Satan. He has enveloped the world with it. He has swallowed them up. It's the one hypocritical shoe that he's been able to slip on the church. Slip in and take the church. The little sign I saw in the back of the car the other day concerning the Georgia Bulldogs, as they call them, referring to hell and whatever. There, it was disgraceful the way that they referred to them. And we talk about the church and talk about them following after the things of God and praying for something like that. It's filthy and it's low down, and one of the low downest things in the world, sports. I trust God will do away with it in a hurry, even though I know it'll take the world till Jesus comes. But the church needs to get away from those kind of things. That is not part of God's body. That's not part of God's plan. That's not part of God's program. They need to withdraw from that, friend. God isn't going to have anything like that. God is a clean, upright God. We're going to have to be loose from the world. Those things are of the world, not of God. Those things belong to the world. But anyway, we see in this not just national but international crisis how that interfered with the great sports world. Look how it caused a division. Look how they're all broken up. And look at Israel. Jimmy having led them on with promises. And then when they came right up to the very place that they were to receive, they say that there was a mistake and something was said out of order, but they won't change the thing, and leaves Israel in the fire. Now, is that right? Laws, international laws, or whatever kind of law there is, if there is a mistake, it should be changed. Anybody with any good common sense knows any law that rules against right things is not a decent law. Should be torn down and changed. Anybody should understand that if there is something that's gone wrong, especially against an entire nation and God's people at that, anybody with any reasoning would know you need to change such a law. That was that same foolish law that caused God to get upset in the Old Testament. The dirge and the Medes and the different ones there that had their laws, and when they were forced, or when the king was tricked into signing a petition against Daniel and the Hebrew children, whatever, they couldn't change the law. God got upset and tore the entire kingdom down later on just because of it. Brother, let me tell you something. If there is a wrong that's been done to Israel, then they need to change the thing. Jimmy Carter needs to have enough sense to change it. And so does Congress need to have enough sense to change it. Just good common sense is all they need to change it. They need to get in there and change it and stop acting like a bunch of fools and like a bunch of young'uns talking about their laws. You go out here, you kill an innocent man and say, well, I can't help it, that's what my law said. Why, you're some kind of fool. You're some kind of fool. But the law has got to be a great fool today. Laying like a snake in the grass. Not fighting against evil, not upholding justice. Not doing right, but pouncing on the weak and on the helpless. God's always tore down the nation and kingdom and everything else that ever got like that. Brother, there is but one law, that's God's law. When you violate God's law, God will tear down your kingdom. You don't need to violate God's law. We don't need to violate God's law at Bethlehem or through the nation or through the world or anywhere else. It's like the letter I wrote to Khomeini. When I told him, I said, if you do any harm to those people, God will plow your cities like a field. And he'll destroy you. Immediately after that, when he refused to let him go, he took sick. There was no aggression from Russia until after the letter was written. And look at Russia. Come in on the right owner, Barry Banks. There was no aggression from America until after the letter was written. Jimmy had not decreed anything. Khomeini was not sick until after the letter. And one earthquake right after another began to strike. Little nations all around begin to pop up. What is it? God has a way of doing things. Brother, he's not going to do it Brother Pike's way. He's not going to do it Jimmy Carter's way. He's not going to do it Homini's way. He's going to do it God's way. That's the way God will do it. And that's the only way that God will do it. And God's way is his word. He isn't going to change it for the president or the money man or for Rockefeller or anybody else. And if Mr. Ahab and Jezebel gets in office, he isn't going to change it for them either. He can roar like a lion if he wants to, but God will pull his teeth out. God's got no more respect for him than he has anybody else. I tell you, folks, what we need to do is get right with God. What we need is some good common sense in the United States. The whole thing, the whole crisis, the whole problem that we're having right now. You say, what can be done about it? Well, it's a sure thing that the same Jimmy, revelationally speaking, is following a pattern of Jesus. You know that. You know how he spoke of it? And afterwards you saw the pictures where they even painted a beard and put JC. It's a true fact that he's following that pattern. That means if that be so, at the end of his administration, there must come about a crucifixion. Isn't that right? That's why Congress and the others is closing in on him. Isn't that right? His efforts were honorable. He was trying to do what was right. And yet, I know within my heart that not acknowledging God, getting the thought that would put the presidency over, getting the thought that nobody else had the answer, that if he jumped up and done it, a great hero he would be. Foolishness. Whereas it's offset the whole thing, caused everything to go wrong. Isn't that right? The crucifixion closing in. What will free the prisoners? The crucifixion of Jesus. That's what freed the prisoners. When they took Jesus to Calvary, didn't that free the prisoners? You say, how do you say that, Brother Pike? Because the dispute is not between America and between Iran, but between Homini and between Jimmy. To boot Jimmy out, to turn America against Jimmy. To crucify the Jesus is to free the prisoners. To feel like, you know, it's easy for the man then to pop up and on good terms let the prisoners go. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? You know, that would make Jimmy look like the heel and the villain. And he, the man with the good understanding. Is that right? And everybody praise him. Oh, folks, can we be so blind that we can't see where we're going? We are in a fix because we're not serving God like we ought to. We're trying to depend on somebody to lead us, somebody to tell us. And yet we're not looking to God to be that somebody. Don't you know we can't never make it like that? Don't you know we can't ever do that? Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you, they that hear. Don't you know that we'll never make it like that? There's only one way. That's God's way. Let's come to God's word. Let's get back to God's Bible. Let's look at the thing just like it is and see what God is doing about it. You know, we come from down yonder at Haiti, and that thing had to do with moving paradise, as I said, going up to Canada, and then the change of the whole thing and the Spirit of God coming back, being poured out on the people, bringing in the great millennium of God. But did you know that in this, Mr. Carter going to the crucifixion, as we say, though that would have to do with the loosening of the souls in prison, yet, if you remember, at Pentecost, it was shortly after this that the persecution came on the Jews, which means that Mr. Carter had done his wrong just in time for the devil to pounce on the Christians Tuesday. going to speak to a million Christians so the world can say another Jimmy, another Jim Jones, another killer. Them bunch of ignorant people, the Christians, another leader they call a born-again Christian. And so then we catch the repercussion of it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Satan with his cunning, devilish way. Isn't that right? Because see, when they smote the head back there, which was Jesus, didn't the wrath fall on Israel? Isn't that right? But it did bring the souls out of prison, didn't it? And it brought in the spiritual Jew, didn't it? It brought in the real church. That is, it has to do with the rapture, the translation. Isn't that right? But isn't it also true that shortly after that Nero fiddled while Rome burned? Didn't that bring on the dark age? You say, what do you mean the dark age, Brother Pye? I'm talking about the tribulation period. The tribulation period. Isn't that right? That's what it has to do with. If there's a Jesus, there's a Christ. If there's a Jesus type in the earth, then when it goes down, there must of necessity come up a Christ type. Isn't that right? So then if there's a real Jesus that goes down, a real Christ comes up. Amen. But if there's a type of Jesus goes down, there has an antitype or an antichrist comes up on the other side. Isn't that right? That's just how close it is. That's how close it is. Didn't we say that the next one coming in would be a dictator? Nixon, the end of the government. Nixon, nothing. Went out, the Watergate situation. Ford come in, nobody elected him in. I said it'd be a king. They found out his name was King. He boasted of getting in. I said just be a monarch. Then the following, it would go to a dictator, that it wouldn't be a president anymore. Hasn't Jimmy broke the laws? Look what he done to Taiwan. Look what he's done now. Constantly doing something on his own, just whatever he wants to do. Changing the government, whatever. Isn't that right? Dictator. That's what it's been. What is it leading up to? It's leading up to one thing. What is that? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. The tribulation period is at hand. Does that agree with what scientists are saying? Even scientists themselves say in 82 that the whole world is going into a convulsion. That all of the galaxies and everything is going topsy-turvy. You say, do you believe that? I'm telling you what science has to say about it. Want to get ready? I'll tell you what I have to say about it. Now, everything looks like it's down at an end. Wouldn't you think so? I made the statement, I said, all of those planets lining up. I said, you know what it's got to do with? I said, every one of them represents the chief leaders of the earth. I said, and they're going to try to line up in a line of peace coming together. I said, and then all of a sudden, it's all going to get out of bounds. Because when they line up, that means one man will be over it. One man on Antichrist. That brings in one supreme ruler. Because every one of them lines up. Who then is the chief? The great day star, the sun. Everything lines up. Everything has to get in line. Is that right? What's going to happen? I said that's when they're all going to get scrambled up like eggs. And then we're going to have a war. And I still say that over yonder, beloved friend, is the Third World War. I haven't changed my mind about it. I still believe it's the Third World War. And by the grace of God, somehow or another, God will intervene and do something and get the saints of God out of here. And I'm still trusting and believing God to bring those hostages home safe. God will do what Jimmy Carter couldn't do. That's what I believe. Jimmy can't do it. God can and will do it. What we need to do is give God the glory and call on God. In that day, no man shall save him. He is the one that we need to look to. He is the one that we need to praise. And he is the one we need to trust in. I'm going to say a few more things in close. Tuesday, a million people are supposed to come together. Every kind of denomination coming together, principally under the leadership of Jimmy. Whereas Jimmy is in bad quarters right now, having violated the Constitution, broke the international laws, as far as I can tell, and is subject for prison, and even could be electrocuted because of murder. And I say this, what's the difference? 8 men dead, 50 men dead, or 50 people. And I believe it was 12 and all 4 of them injured. Now, that's the way people are going to look at it. It's their loved one, they're bereaved of their loved one, whether it be the 50 hostages or it be the 8. And one of them, I believe, was from Georgia. Now then, I believe that Khomeini was holding back until he saw whether or not Jimmy was going to get out of office. Just an old pouty thing is all it was. The Lord suffered it because Jimmy got out of order. Just wanting his way. But waiting to see who was going to come in office for the presidency. I made the statement to somebody. I said, I believe that's what he's waiting on. And a few days later, I heard somebody make the statement, said, they say that Khomeini said he wanted to see who was going to be in office. Or was going to wait till the election to find out what was going to go on in the election. But I believe that that's what he was waiting on. And it's my conviction that what Jim and them done did not scare him at all. Not at all. Nor the Iranian people. They say that they line that place on the outside with sandbags. The word be a fortress now. Hold off a small army. I don't believe it scared them the least bit. But I still believe that there's a better opportunity for the freedom of the people now than it was before. Though it looks contrary to everything that we've said. I still believe there is. You say, well, what do you base that on? I base that on the fact that Khomeini will feel that the people will oust Jimmy and the argument will be over. Jimmy goes out. Or if they jump on Jimmy, it'll make him feel good. He'll feel he's won the argument. That'll let up on the hostages. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I got a feeling that's just the way it's going to be because it's a silly pouting thing. And it's against Jimmy Carter. After all, Jimmy's the one that's causing the trouble. Isn't that right? God said to David one time over there, David said, what's all this trouble in the land, Father? He said, well, we're having all kind of problems. He said, it's the wicked house of Saul. He said, go out there and hang him sons up on a limb out there and we'll get this thing straightened out. Went out there and hung him up. That ended it. So then, that was many years later after Saul's death. But the thing was still hanging around, giving place to Satan. Now, folks, I'm convinced of this one thing in my heart, that if a man like Ted Kennedy popped up in office, that unless God undertook, and he can, that Khomeini would think like this. Now, Jimmy Carter's gone, the argument's gone, that's all I wanted. I let the hostages go. And then I think he would think like this, that if I don't let them go, Ted Kennedy will take my head off and blow us up over here, hostages or no hostages. And if I kill the hostages, he'll still come over here and take my head off. So to save my head, I better let him go while I can. Now I got a feeling that's the way he's going to think, and I got a feeling he'll be thinking right too. If I am not mistaken, I believe it was Ted Kennedy or one of them that made the statement that the cat needs to pick the rat up and give him a good shaking. I believe it was Ted that made the statement, come to think of it. But at any rate, folks, this is a sad, serious moment. And I don't mean to holler at you, but I am deeply convicted in what I'm saying. I believe that our people have just gone to a bunch of foolish young'uns. They need to stop being children. The Bible said in malice be children, howbeit in understanding be men. I believe in the White House we got a bunch of men that's acting like a bunch of silly women or children. Now I'm not saying godly women, a bunch of silly women. They go around when you go to shake their hands, the men of today saying, delighted to meet you. A bunch of silly people. Isn't that awful? You reach your hand out to shake hand with a man, and he drops his hand, you know, out and delighted, charming. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. Don't you know God ain't going to put up with no foolishness like that? When God made a lion, he didn't intend for him to go around meowing like a kitten. Couldn't you imagine a big lion come walking through you tonight just meowing like a kitten, wanting to lick everybody? Or could you imagine a kitten, a cat, come through here roaring like a lion, trying to eat everybody up? A house cat. Somebody said, that's foolishness, Brother Pike. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's foolishness. Paul said, I speak as a fool. So you'll understand, that's foolishness. When God made a man, he made a man to be a man. He didn't make him to act like some kind of silly something, to be feminine. When he made a woman, he made her to be woman. He did not make her to go around with an old masculine attitude, an old stubborn thing. I rule around here. That's a devil. Somebody say amen. He didn't make her like that. You say, well, who did? The devil. The devil. Bless God, she says, I rule here. No, you don't rule there. The devil rules there. God don't talk like that anyway. And if he's going to talk like that, he'd talk like that through a man, and it'd be a different tone of voice and a different way of doing it anyway. All right, now somebody said, Nathan, quit preaching. You're going to start meddling. Let's just close out. All right, we'll close out if you'll stand with me. I'll give you a break tonight. I love you, folks. I really do. From the bottom of my heart, I love you. But I say one thing, that if we as the people of God don't rise up and do something, things are going to be 10 times worse than what they are. I realize that the end of the world has come. It's like I told my wife today. You know, in the hour that we're living in, if you notice, if a computer bothered me, I'd throw it out the window. No computer should in a fear with good common sense. Don't you agree? It's supposed to be to help you, not to master you. Now, it's wrong for him to do that, but yet God has suffered that for a reason. What is the reason? It is the hour of perfection. It means that they will sift, cull, throw everything out that can't meet their demand. And you know who can meet their demand? The men with the money. The men that are in good standing in the world, the men and women that can keep the pace. And so then they've got their perfect little league together, and the world's got their little machine. The working man is booted out. But see, God did that. He knowed they would do it that way. But then the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. God will reverse it. See, and you are they that are coming up to date in God's book. And someday, at the judgment, all of those people will stand before God and the great book shall be open. And just as they say you were due to pay on the 10th and you didn't pay, out you go. The Lord will say, I don't see on the 10th where you prayed one time. I don't see on the 11th where you prayed one time. And on the 12th, I see that you're lacking in prayer and fasting. And they'll say, but Lord, that's too strict. But the Lord will say, but this is what you set up, remember. This is your system. This is what you demanded. I'm only asking what you ask. This is what you demanded of the people. Now then, as you took the man by the throat and said, pay up, pay up. Now, you wicked servant, you pay up. You pay up. The prophet said to David, a man done such and such in his wickedness, and he brought such and such heartaches and sorrow. What do you think about it, David? David was wroth and said, I'll tell you what to do to him. And David pronounced a hard judgment on him. And the man of God said, thou art the man, David. You decided your own destiny. You set the system. Now pay up. And that's the way God will do it in the day of the judgment. So don't be upset. You just keep everything right in the book of heaven and in the spiritual side of it. And after a while, the other will be over. God will take care of you in the natural. He won't let you go lacking. He has to do this in the natural, friend, to bring about the type of perfection, to show you how near the coming of the Lord is, and to show you that nothing less than perfection without spot, wrinkle, or blemish is going to be partakers of that divine thing of God. So then you see how close it is. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. Let's sing a little chorus together. Don't be cold, don't be indifferent, don't be worldly, don't be ungodly, don't be selfish, don't be bitter, don't gossip, don't backbite, don't be haughty, don't be boisterous, don't be bullied, don't be unkind, don't be lustful, greedy of worldly gain. Don't be like that, folks. Have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Be fervent in the Spirit. Have the fires of God burning. Be ready at all times, for the Lord may call you before the morning. And if not, surely He will call you before long. If not as an individual overnight, He'll call you before long as a church, collectively speaking. So let's stand with Christ. Let's get a vision. Let's don't idle our day away saying, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to do something for God. Friend, do something for God. Quit thinking about it. As you've had a will, have a performance. Quit having a will to the extent that you get into a performance. Start a performance. Do something for God. Start a practice in your life of doing something every day, every moment, to help somebody or to help the kingdom of God. Your days are getting away from you faster than a shuttle. Do something, because you're going to be sorry if you don't do something. You'd give 10 million worlds if it were possible, if you could do something. If you can do any little thing for Christ, do it. Do it. Don't let the flesh talk you out of it. They that be in the flesh savor the things that be of the flesh. They do mind, or that is, think about the things that be of the flesh. But they that be in the Spirit, they do mind the things that be of the Spirit. That is, they are not in the flesh, but they walk in the Spirit. And if they walk in the Spirit, they don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory Jesus, will sing about His love. We'll sing about His love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you sing it again? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonder. Sing it one more time, can you? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you slip your hands up now? Just bow your head, slip your hands up, close your eyes. If everything is not right with you, friend, in your heart tonight, think on Jesus. The day is at a close. Think on Jesus. Holy, holy Father, bless us. Or if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, let God fill you with the glorious Holy Ghost tonight. You need the Holy Ghost. You can't make it into the kingdom without the Holy Ghost. It's a translation by the Holy Spirit, your spirit into His spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. And oh, beloved friend, when His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has translated your spirit into God's eternal spirit by the divine act of Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then you will blossom like a rose. The desert of your body that's desolate without the fruits of the Spirit and the joy of the Lord and life eternal. Oh, you'll blossom like a rose, for rivers of living water shall spring forth from your innermost being, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The deep is calling unto the deep tonight at the water spout of God. Let's mind the things of the Spirit and seek the things of the Spirit. Let's get a vision for God and let's pray for Christ tonight. Pray for His kingdom tonight and do everything to establish His kingdom in the earth. Can you do that tonight? I want you to lift your hands up and love Jesus for a minute tonight. Let's just love Jesus. Can you do that tonight? I feel the presence of God here tonight. Let the Spirit of God move over you tonight. Break that old yoke, that old bondage, that old carnal reasoning. And let the glory of God come over you tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Every time I start talking about Him, I feel it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, well, Brother Pike, you ought not to speak in tongues, you know. You're supposed to interpret. Well, I will if the Spirit does that too. But I'll speak in tongues until He does. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't like to make believe. I love to praise God. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Hallelujah. It might not hurt you to speak in tongues a little bit. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. When the first church, 3,000 people, came to know Jesus. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You say, but Brother Pike, Paul said not to do that. Paul didn't say not to do that. To the contrary, Paul said, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. He just said in the church, don't all speak with tongues at one time. He said, let's have a little understanding. But said, if you're speaking in tongues, speak to yourself and God. Praise God. Don't quit. Don't quench the Spirit. And if you can interpret, go right on and speak in tongues. That's good. Let the Holy Ghost talk. You love Jesus? Ain't it good to know God's Word? That way the devil can't bind you. The truth will make you free. Did you know that? You can go right on and love the Lord. While the contrary winds of doctrine howl around your house, you can go right on and just love Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just love Him for a minute. Lift your hands up and love Him. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, I ask for your blessings tonight, Father. May your great Spirit forgive my sins tonight. Holy Father, and may it forgive the sins of the people. Make the people, Father, tonight to be spiritual. And oh God, help them to get a hold of the right things tonight. Oh, I thank you tonight, Jesus, for your presence. I thank you tonight, Jesus, for your love. I love thee tonight, Father. By your Spirit, move tonight, Jesus. I ask in the name of the Lord that you come down out of heaven. Hallelujah. Let me feel your presence, Jesus. Oh God, till every yoke be broken, till every sickness be healed, every sin be forgiven. Father, till the Spirit of God would fill this building at Little Bethlehem. May every time that we come together, Father, may we bind together in the Spirit of God. Lord, that your great Spirit would be here. Oh, I ask of thee tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal, to save, and to forgive tonight. Let me feel the blessings of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask you to heal and save tonight. Give us of thy blessings. Give us of thy spirit. And let us be filled with the love of God. Lord, may we fast and may we pray. Father, may we study thy word. May we give to the poor. May we lift up a testimony. Oh God, that the world can know that we love Jesus. I ask that you do it tonight. In the name of your lovely son, Jesus, Father, have your wonderful way. Hallelujah. I feel your wonderful presence tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to sing this little chorus, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it again? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? When he reached down his hand for me. Can you sing it with me? When he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, sing it with me. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, sing it one more time. When my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus? Just lift your hands up again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Raman Ramanda Rabba Shandalabasi Darama Rabashita Rabba Rabasai. Yelamandalamalo Shida Rabba Rabashita Ramanda Rabasai. Holy, holy Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everything right with you tonight? Is everything right with you tonight? Oh, I trust as you stand there with your hands raised to heaven that everything is right with you tonight. Oh, the fire of God burns in my heart like a flame. It burns like a flame tonight, like a fire shut up in my bones tonight. Oh, hallelujah, it burns like a flame. I feel the fire of God burning on the inside of me. God is calling tonight. He's calling tonight. Jesus is calling tonight. Jesus is calling tonight. If thou canst believe, if thou canst hear tonight, to them that hear his voice, he can come forth tonight from the dead. Hallelujah.